so brilliantly raining down over you and me.
Welcome to Fitness Mormon Housewives. I am your host, Cammie, and we are continuing our Now series, Narrating Ordained Women. I have with me today Sarah Hanks, and if you've been listening to these in sequence, she just did Now number 3 with Brian Castleman, and she was the one who interviewed him, did a fantastic job, and I have done podcasts with Sarah, and I'm very excited just to interview her. She's become like a internet friend. So, Sarah, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, yeah. My name is Sarah, and I grew up in St. George, Utah. I have lived in Utah most of my life. Provo for Cedar City for school. I lived in Provo for a little while, and now I live in Salt Lake. I took a brief detour into Seattle as well, which was wonderful. Mm. I am married and have a baby boy who's just shy of a year old. I am a writer. I write for the Feminist Mormon Housewives blog and have been working on a book about sex education for Mormon families for a little while now. And let's see, anything else? I'm the Ward Girls Camp director, which I'm really excited about. Yeah, that's my life these days.
Now, when you're doing your writing, are you mostly doing blogs or have you written anything?
It's mostly blogs. I've kept a personal blog for a little while, and then writing for FMH has been a good outlet too. I've written in a few places on the Mormon internet, and I'm just having my first piece published in the Exponent magazine.
Mm. What is it titled?
In the next issue. I think it's called something about my examples of hope, something about that. And it's actually about ordained women, which is interesting. I wrote it before I had come to any sort of conclusion for myself about women's ordination. But yeah, it was just about how I really admired the women and the men of ordained women who were just unabashedly hopeful, you know, because I didn't feel like at that point in my life I really could be. And I looked up to them for that.
Well, I guess that's a great segue into my first question. So how did that come about? When did you come to that decision? How did you come to that decision? And when did you post your support for ordination for women on ordainedwomen.org?
Well, the experience that I had that really made a change, I happen to remember the date of it. It was March 17th, 2014. And it was, it's because that's the anniversary of the date that Ordained Women was founded and also the date that the Relief Society was founded.
Oh.
And I have to say, you know, I had had kind of a long history of being very, very involved and interested in a variety of Mormon feminist issues, you know, and thinking about them a lot. And priesthood had always been a big question mark for me. And to be honest, I felt like I didn't have a testimony that priesthood was even a thing, you know? And so I felt like I couldn't, how could I say that I thought women should be ordained if I didn't even have a testimony of it? And it was just one of those things, you know, as you build your testimony, it's not that I didn't have a testimony of the church or I didn't have a testimony of Christ or whatever, but for whatever reason, priesthood was just such a mystery to me. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't honestly bear witness of it. And so I had been thinking about it for a while. And the thing about it was that I have a lot of Mormon feminist friends who are on like either extreme when it comes to women's ordination, some who really feel like either the approach of ordained women is wrong or the goal itself is wrong, that women shouldn't be ordained to the priesthood, that there's like a priestesshood situation. And then I have friends who are very much, you know, super involved with ordained women and believe in it strongly. And I found myself just being whoever I had talked to most recently was like who I agreed with. I didn't have my own feeling about it. But on this day on March 17th, I wasn't seeking an answer that day. I was not at all. And it was just a weird thing. I was sitting there and I was feeding my baby and it was that burning in the bosom. It was that feeling of just like a whoosh over me. And it was, if I had to put it into words, it was like the priesthood is real. The restoration continues and you need to get involved in this. You need to be with ordained women.
Wow.
And I was dumbfounded. And what's amazing for me is that my testimony of the priesthood, even though now I can't say that I have like any better understanding of it in terms of like being able to teach a lesson or, you know, very clearly line out the difference between like priesthood keys and priesthood office and priesthood authority. Like there's still, it's still very confusing to me, but I have a testimony of it now. And it came at the same time. It came in conjunction with this feeling that I needed to be a part of ordained women. And so that day I started writing my profile. I think I sent it in a few days later, and this was shortly before the April priesthood session action. And I went to that and so it was surprising. It wasn't something I was looking for at that time, but it was one of the experiences in my life that felt just undeniable. You know, I knew that God was talking to me in that moment.
I'm amazed that I think there is a movement that happens kind of like the whispering of a wind, you know?
Yeah.
And it just moves people. Like if I had not had my experience, I would have been closed to what I saw the next day. So that is beautiful, Sarah.
I really felt like, you know, as you talk about the different reasons that people do things, I felt a lot of respect, and I still feel a lot of respect for people who support this because of their conceptions of like justice, equality, yes, all of that. And who are doing this from like a strategic place or an intellectual place. And I just knew for me, like it had to be spiritually grounded or else I would chicken out. Like this is somewhat risky. And I knew that if I didn't feel like God wanted me to do it, that I couldn't do it.
Right.
Without that spiritual witness, I would be a sideline, you know, someone who was clapping, but I wouldn't get involved because I would be too scared. You know?
Right, right. You wouldn't be a choir member.
Right, exactly.
You'd be lip syncing. So this has been a short time now because right now it is May 17th. So have you had any response so far?
I've had a little bit. I feel like there's that saying in the scriptures about that counsel not to cast your pearls before swine.
Yes.
And I feel very weird like using that expression because I don't want to send the message that I like think that my loved ones are swine. They are not.
Right.
But to me, it just sends the message that you need to be very mindful about how and where you share the things that are very dear to you and that people might not understand. And so I've tried, I think things can get really misconstrued on the internet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so while I have, you know, posted a few things and like commented on the Ordained Women public page and stuff, I've tried to be very like restrained about it. And the response that I've gotten so far, at least from people that I know, like my family members, has been very loving, you know, a lot of, okay, I can see where you're coming from, or, you know, just that feeling that they can tell I'm sincere and that I'm the same person they've always known that I am. And, I remember one time I think it was shortly before the priesthood session action in April, and somebody, you know, a stranger commented on my little like RSVP to be going to the event and was like, you know, you're going to be turned away. And I said, yeah, I know that I'm going to be turned away, but I'm still going to go. And it's still important to God that I go. Mm-hmm. And then this person just started calling me a liar and they started private messaging me too. And so I eventually blocked them so that it wasn't quite so scary, but I had a lot of family members, like my in-laws, kind of come to my defense where they were like, you don't even know her, you know? And they, and these are people that I know do not agree with me as far as like the way that they see priesthood being open to women maybe in the future, but they still, it just makes such a difference when it's like our disagreement on this issue doesn't change our affection for each other, you know? And so I've felt really good about the way that people have responded. And I've also been kind of as private as I feel I can be in good conscience, you know?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And you have to choose those moments to share, that I think sometimes when we have a spiritual experience or a special experience for us, how we deem it sacred, that we have to share it in that spirit. Otherwise it dulls the whole experience and it's not received. So I totally understand what you're saying with that.
Yeah.
What kind of vision do you have for ordained women specifically? Mm-hmm. And what do you have for a vision for ordination for women in the church and in the future?
Well, that's an interesting question. And I want to share a story that seems unrelated, but is related for me, or that at least sets up like a framework through which I understand this.
Okay.
So when I was in college, I had my best friend who was serving his mission in France, and he wrote me a letter a few months after he left and told me that he loved me and he wanted me to wait for him. Hmm. And I was like, I was dumbfounded, and I prayed about it. And the answer that I got was, yeah, you need to wait for him. Hmm. And so I got an answer of here's what you need to do. And I extrapolated that into a meaning. I was like, okay, God told me to wait. That must mean I'm going to marry him. Mm. And I did wait, and he got home and we dated, and I didn't marry him. Mm. And I don't think that I questioned my answer, but I did have to get more thoughtful about the fact that God had not told me I was going to marry him. God told me what I needed to do. Mm. And as it turns out, there were a lot of blessings that came from me waiting for him. I met the guy that I actually did marry because of him. He was one of my best friend's mission companions. And there were so many other blessings in terms of like what I was able to do in school and other relationships that would have been destructive to me that I didn't get into, that I didn't get very deep into because I knew that I was waiting for this guy and that God wanted me to wait. And so I kind of think about that in terms of a lot of the answers that I get to prayer now and the answer that I got to this prayer of ordination. God did not tell me women are going to be ordained.
Right.
God told me what I needed to do. Right. And I don't know the purpose of that. I would love to believe, and I think that there's a lot of reason to hope that someday there will be some sort of ordination for women, whether it's to the priesthood that becomes a priesthood of all believers, or whether it's like a different line of priestesshood. I think that that has some wonderful possibilities as well. Mm. But if that was the answer, if I had gotten an answer of like prophecy of what was going to happen, then that would be wonderful. But the answer that I got was about what I needed to do. And maybe I need to do it so that I can be in a certain place in the future that's going to be important for me. Or maybe it's because of, you know, the friendships that I can make. Like there are so many possibilities. And I guess that's just been important for me to recognize, is that I don't need to see a day when women are ordained to know that God wanted me to do this.
Yeah.
But in terms of my hope, I mean, I certainly hope that in the future, you know, that there'll be a new understanding of what women's power is. You know, it's, we think of the priesthood and we define the priesthood as the power and authority of God on earth.
Right.
And I see some serious drawbacks in feeling like that power is exclusive to men. And I just hope that in some way, and I believe that in some way, God's will is for women to in time and through effort to have a greater understanding of their power. Mm. And maybe the ways in, I don't know, the ways in which it's different from men's power, maybe the ways in which it's the same. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but in this answer to my prayer, I definitely got the feeling that the restoration continues. And that's been something that's been reiterated in conference, like that there is more to come. And for me personally, I really feel like women's relationship to and access to power is an important part of that. Yeah. I hope for some realization of that, hopefully in my lifetime and in my children's lifetimes.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of that song, How Can I Keep From Singing?
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw what I saw and then saw this movement, just the last few lines of that song went through my heart. It sends an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? Mm-hmm. And I just knew I had to sing this song with my sisters.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't mind, I have a there was a song that really came to me very strongly in this experience. It was Lead Kindly Light, the hymn. And there's the line, I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me.
Enough for me, yeah.
And I quote that in my ordained women profile. I really felt like that was important. I don't know the distant scene. I don't, and I feel like I don't need to know it, at least not at this point. I just know that this is the God, the step that God wants me to take. And, and I've thought a lot about what I'm willing to do kind of as part of ordained women and as a member of the church, you know, that this is not at all a popular position in the church and not, not one that, that you can really speak of freely. And I guess I feel like I'm totally willing to be patient. I'm totally willing to learn and be open, but I'm not willing to pretend that this is an unrighteous desire. I'm not willing to pretend like it's wrong to want this or like God didn't tell me what God told me, you know, it's, I don't know. It comes down to that sometimes for me where I just feel like I've learned through church not to be ashamed of my testimony. And I can't suddenly pretend that I am ashamed of my testimony just because the people that I go to church with aren't jazzed about it, you know?
Right. Exactly. So, thank you, Sarah. I appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you, Tammy. I love talking to you.
Ditto.